This is April the 30th, 2024. Good morning. It is such a beautiful day. I'm glad you're with us once again. You're listening to Back to the Basic Bible Study. I'm Pastor George Goins of Macedonia Baptist Church, and I want to welcome you here once again on the broadcast today. I'm going to be in John chapter 9. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 9. And we're going to be there for today. And I want to share with you about a blind man today, which is it's interesting. You'll see as we get into this story here. Let me just tell you, things are going well. We just had our church fish fry this last Saturday. Had a good turnout, had some good fish, had good fellowship. Everything was just wonderful. Very, very grateful that we were able to have that. We've got things that are coming up in May. Matter of fact, of course, May 12th is Mother's Day. That's always a great day, a blessed day, to be able to celebrate our mothers on that day. But on the 19th of May, we're going to have our 168th anniversary here, homecoming of Macedonia Baptist Church. 168 years. It was established back in 1856, before Abraham Lincoln was president. There was a man by the name of Nelson Porterfield, brought some folks from Georgia with him, and they got with the folks in this community, and they established the cemetery and the church all at the same time. And so it's been here all these years, and very grateful that we're able to still continue to do as they had in their minds of starting this church and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. And then, boy, things really kick off in June. I'll try to keep you updated on this, but the second week of June, we will have our church camp. We're going to go over to Camp Allen like we did last year. And then the very last week of June, we will have our vacation Bible school. So like I said, I'll try to keep you updated on those things. So things are just going to start taking off now, and we'll get busy again. So we're excited about that. But before we get into John chapter 9, I want to sing a song to you. Let me grab my guitar. I want to sing a song to you that's called Send the Light. In this passage that we're going to be in today, or Jesus actually says that he was the light of the world, and he truly is. He is the hope, the only hope that we have in this world. So he is the light. And so when we're talking about this song here, it's talking about, of course, sending the light, which is Jesus Christ. And the Lord did, God did that. He sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Here you go. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonia call today. Send the light, send the light. A golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We will pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. In the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore.
Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We will not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Send the light of Jesus into a dark world. And he is the light, truly. Let me set my guitar down. All right, good deal. John chapter 9, we're going to look at, actually, I just want to read this one verse, and then we're going to kind of go through this passage here, actually through the whole chapter through verse 41. But verse 25, he said, this is the blind man. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So there's a blind man that Jesus is going to encounter here. He's previously, before this, has been run out of the temple by the Pharisees. So on his way out, he encounters this blind man that has been blind since birth. He was in darkness, both physically and spiritually. He saw darkness, both physically and spiritually, and his life was filled with darkness, both physically and spiritually. The blind man, of course, was a beggar at the temple. That's what he did every Sabbath. He would go to the temple and he would beg for money. That was how he made his living. His parents obviously were there as well. And as you'll see later on as we get into the story here, but he was a beggar. And it gave the worshipers an opportunity to give to those that are less fortunate, those who have issues in their lives. They were able to help during that time. So the blind man was a beggar at the temple. The worshipers, they knew that he was blind. Why? Because he was always there on the Sabbath, and maybe they contributed to his cause many times. But the worshipers, they knew that this blind man, his neighbors even knew the blind man. People that lived around him would have known that he was a blind man from birth. And then also his parents knew that he was a blind man. You'll see that later on as we get into the story here. The blind man's life would be changed, though. It would be radically changed, both physically and spiritually. And we'll see that as we get into this. Okay, let me get a sip of water. Sorry about that. All right. So we're going to look at this blind man. First off, he'd been blind since his birth. You can see that in verse number 1 here. It says, Jesus passed by. He saw a blind man which was blind from birth. So this man had been blind from birth. He was, of course, aware of his own blindness. In verse 11, he makes reference to it. As he says here, he says, and I went and washed and I received sight. And that's in verse number 11. Verse 25, as we read a while ago, he says, whereas I was blind, now I see. Verse 30, he says, why herein is this marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened my eyes. So this man obviously here had known of him, of his own, you know, his own problem that he had, but also his parents also knew that this man, that this was their son, and that he was born blind. We can read that in verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. So they knew also of his blindness. His neighbors were also aware of his blindness. In verse 8, you can see the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So they knew also, they were very much aware. But he's going to meet a man that he did not know, And his life was going to be radically changed. Like I said, both physically, he would be changed, and spiritually, he would be changed. He was blind, but now he could see. And we'll look at that. Look at verse 1. It says, "And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him." Let's stop there just for a moment. Let me make a couple of comments here. The disciples were with Jesus as they passed by this man. Jesus knew who this man was because he's God. And he knew this man. He also knew his problem. He was physically blind and he was spiritually blind. But his disciples asked a question, you know, was it because of this man's sin that he's blind, or was it because of his parents' sin that this man was blind? And of course, Jesus answers that in verse 3. He said, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." In other words, would be revealed in him. Okay, so let me just make a comment here. Just because we go through difficult circumstances in our lives does not mean that there's sin in our lives. Even though we're all born into this, we have this sinful nature, and we do deal with sin every day. Even after you're saved, you're going to deal with sin because of this body that we live in. Doesn't mean just because we're going through difficult circumstances that we're in sin. Okay, so sometimes God allows us to go through difficult circumstances to strengthen our faith. Just like Abraham. Abraham was a good example of that. God told Abraham, you leave everything. You leave your family, you leave your home, you leave all of that, and I want you to go to a place. Abraham had no idea where God was taking him. He was just going to follow God. God told him where to go, and he went. And you know, that took a lot of faith to be able to do that, to leave the security of your home, to leave the security of your all that you had, your homeland, and then to just follow God off wherever that meant. And of course, God led him to the promised land and gave him a promise that he would give this land to his seed. And of course, Abraham didn't have a child at the time, and he was old in age, and his wife was old in age. But God had promised that through his seed, that was the promise, that he would make a great people out of him, which is the Hebrews or the Jews today. Abraham is the father of the Jews today because of the promise of God. So he was preparing him. He was preparing him by testing his faith for a bigger test that was yet to come. Isaac comes along after 25 years. Isaac comes along. He was the promised seed. It was through Isaac that God was going to bless the seed, and the Jews would become a great nation. And God told Abraham, take your son and go sacrifice him on a hill. I'll tell you where to go. You just go. And Abraham did. When he was willing to even sacrifice his own son, because God had already prepared him. He already knew that God he knew that God could do those things, he didn't know how God was going to do it, but he knew that God had promised Isaac as the promised seed, and that somehow Isaac was going to continue to live in order to pass on that seed. And so he went on his way. Of course, God didn't allow him to kill his son, you know, to sacrifice his son. He provided a ram in his place. But you see, sometimes we go through those difficult times in life because God is preparing us. He's strengthening our faith in our Christian walk, in our Christian growth. And that's what we need. We need those tests in life. So sometimes we go through those tests. I know they're not fun to go through because I've been through them myself, but it's helpful to our spiritual well-being and our spiritual growth. But then there are times that we're out of God's will and we're living in sin, and God's trying to get our attention and trying to refocus us again and get us where we need to be, that we go through those things as well. So just to explain that to you, but read on here. We're going to read on here. He meets this man, this blind man meets this man that he didn't know. They asked a question, and Jesus makes a statement here in verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus made this statement that he is the light. And in this dark world that we live in, this sinful world that we live in. But we all know that Jesus is not with us physically on this earth, that he's at the right hand of the Father. So how do we have the light in the world? Well, the believer, when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, we get the light. We're like little flashlights in a dark world. And all over the world, there are little flashlights that are protruding the light of Christ in our lives so that people can see the truth. They can see the light. They see that light, which is Jesus Christ in us. So this man obviously had a problem. He couldn't see. Jesus knew that. So Jesus had a plan. Look at verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the man with the clay. So what Jesus did is he took and he spit on the ground, he made him some clay, and he anointed that on this man's blind eyes, on the eyelid, you know, and he put that on there. But then he says in verse 7, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he goes and he tells him, now, I don't know if you know geographically, I've never been there, so I hadn't seen this personally, but I've seen videos and I've watched and seen pictures as well of this. The temple would, of course, have been up on the high, on the mount. Downstairs, you would have gone down to what they call the Pool of Siloam, which many people would go down there because of the waters. They felt like there was healing in the waters. And so they would wash themselves in the waters, and then they would go up the steps and they would go to the temple to worship. All right. And as well as they felt like also in those days, the washing was the cleansing to prepare them for the worship as they went up to the temple. Okay. So Jesus, wherever it was, obviously it must have been outside of the temple somewhere, Jesus would encounter this man, and he spits on the ground and he places the clay on his eyes, and he tells him to go down and wash in the pool of Siloam. So that means that that blind man had to go down those steps, go down to the pool of Siloam. That shows faith in action. Okay, so he didn't know this guy. He didn't know who he was. He just the man, you know, Jesus comes up to him and just says, "Hey, look, and I'm gonna make this clay," and he puts it on his eyes, and now he tells him to go down and wash it off. Okay, let me read the rest of the verses. So he tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is an interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. So for the very first time, you can only imagine what that was like. He goes down to the pool, and I'm sure it's not the first time he's ever done this. He goes down to the pool and he washes his eyes out from this clay that Jesus has anointed him, and he opens his eyes, and for the very first time, he could see. I mean, he has never been able to see, and just at this point in time, he could see. He could see physically. In order to identify somebody, maybe he had to use his hands to feel their face and their facial features to identify them. Now he could see what they looked like, and he could see the trees, and he could see the birds that were in the trees and the grass and the flowers and all of those things, and it was a beautiful sight. For the first time since he was born, he was able to see because he believed in the man that told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. So it was an action. It was faith in action. Now, real quick here, let's look at the testimony here, the testimony of the others that witnessed this miracle that took place. Okay. First of all, we see the neighbors in verse number 8 here. It says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? So the neighbors obviously identified this man. They knew him. I mean, I'm sure he was excited. He came up and, you know, and he started seeing people and he's introducing himself. You know, I'm that beggar. And everybody's like, well, how are you, you know, you were blind and look at you now. You know, the neighbors, they knew him. They knew that this man was blind, but yet there were some that were even confused because it was such a great miracle. You can see in verse 9, some said that this is he. Others said he is like him. So they weren't sure who he was. You know, I mean, he looks like the guy that we've seen every Sabbath up here that's been begging, but he was a blind man. He was a beggar. He was a blind man. And maybe this is not him. But then yet, you know, it was him. This was him. Some were saying, but no, this is the guy. And some are saying, well, he looks like him, but we're not sure that it's him. But it's interesting in that verse, in verse 9, but he said, I am he. I am he. He identified himself. But then they questioned the beggar, okay? Because it's a miracle, obviously. You were blind. I knew you were blind because I've seen you. I've watched you from across the road, and I've seen how you've tried to get around. You had to feel to get around. I know you were blind at the time. How did this happen? Look at verse 10. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? How did this happen? You know? And verse 11, he gives his testimony. He tells them. He said, he answered and he said, a man that is called Jesus. He didn't know this man, but he obviously found out what his name was. He said, there was this man, and his name, he was called Jesus. And he made clay, and he anointed my eyes, and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received my sight. So he gives them their testimony. And how important our testimony is, folks. Our testimony is one of the greatest tools, soul winning tools, that you have is your life. You know, because people go, you know, they look at your life now and the life that you once lived, and they go, what happened to you? You know, what changed you? Like this, you were like this, and now you're like this. So what happened? So it gives you that opportunity to be able to share your testimony. And that's exactly what this man did. He shared his testimony. He shared to the people here what had happened to him. There was a man, and he was called Jesus. And he made clay, and he placed it on my eyes, and he told me to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash. And I went and washed. And guess what? I can see now. I can see. So he shares that. Okay. Then the Pharisees, they interrogate him at this point in time. They begin to interrogate because they didn't understand. Verse 12 says, then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I don't know. And verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees, him that was aforetime was blind. So they bring him to the Pharisees, the religious people there, for answers. And they begin to interrogate this man. And they said in verse 15, then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. And therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? So they were even confused. Some of them were saying, well, you know, he obviously can't be of God if he was healing on the Sabbath day, which they didn't know their scripture very well, obviously. And then there were some that were saying, well, how could God have used this man if he was a sinner to do this? So they interrogated him. They asked his parents. You can see down here in verse 18, they didn't necessarily believe the man, so they were going to ask the parents. So actually, verse 19, it says, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. So they question the parents, and then they give their own opinion. Look at verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So he shares that testimony to them again as well. The parents identified him, the beggar. He shares his own testimony here, where he says, you know, I was blind in verse 25, but guess what? Now I can see. I don't know about this man. I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I don't know who he is, but there is one thing that I do know, is I was blind and now I see. In verse 27, he shares again his, he's testifying here. Look, he answered them, and I have told you already. In other words, they asked him again, how did this happen? And he said, man, I've already told you what had happened. You didn't believe it then. He says, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will you also be his disciples, which means to be followers? So that's what he was saying. Obviously, this man was convinced, the blind man, the beggar, he was convinced that Jesus was of God and he was going to follow him. And so he encourages the Pharisees to do the same thing, because only God could have done what had happened here about this blind man and bringing his sight. So we see that this blind man was convinced that Jesus was who he said he was, and that the witnesses here were confused about it. But then the beggar, let's look at the beggar's salvation. Not only was he healed physically, but also he is going to be healed spiritually. Look at verse number 35. It says, "And Jesus heard that they had cast him out." In other words, they cast him out of the synagogue and out of the temple. "And when he had found him, he said unto him," and here's the key to salvation, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That's the key to salvation, folks. It's not in church membership. It's not in a denomination. It's not in water baptism. It is in that very statement that he just made right here. "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" Now, I want you to look at his answer here. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" So he obviously is convinced that there is someone out there who has the ability. Maybe he didn't have the knowledge as many of the Pharisees would have, or maybe the neighbors, about the Messiah coming. Maybe he didn't have that information. Maybe he didn't know that information, but he was believing this man that he didn't know. Why? Because he got his sight back. So he says, "Who is this guy? Who is this man? So that I can believe in him." Now look at Jesus' answer. "And he said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." But not only can you hear him like you would have done if you were blind, but you have also seen him as well. And then in verse 38, "And he said, Lord," which means master here, "I believe." And he worshiped him. So you see, he got his spiritual salvation. He was healed physically, he got his sight back, but he was also healed spiritually through getting the light of Christ into his life. He had to make a choice to either receive or to reject the opportunity. And he took the opportunity because he had a clear understanding. He believed Jesus as Lord, and then it says he did what we should all do naturally after we're saved. He worshiped Jesus. He followed Jesus. So the question is here is, what can we learn from all of this? Well, first of all, that spiritually we are born blind. Spiritually we're born blind. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all come short of God's glory. And then we're born that way. Naturally, we are given through our parents a sin nature. And we've all sinned. We need a Savior. Because of sin, it separates us from God. And the only hope we have is what God did. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He sent his Son to die for our sins on the cross of Calvary. And if we will put our trust, because the rest of that verse says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we will put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge, and you'll know it's real when he comes into your life, and he'll change your life. And then remember this too as well, we can learn that God can do the impossible. I don't know what you're going through in your life, in your circumstances that you're going through. And maybe it's not because you know God's trying to refocus you and bring you back, but maybe you've been living the right kind of life and you've been going to church and you've been praying and doing all those things that we do as born again believers. And maybe you're going through a difficult time and you cannot see any hope in it. Let me just give you some hope. There is nothing that is impossible with God. God can do anything, and he can do that for you. Jesus said, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So God can take that little bit of faith that we have, and he can multiply that, and he can save our souls. He can help us through the battles that we go through. He can help us through the valleys that we go through, and he can get us to the other side. Also, something else, as believers, we have a testimony to share. Just like this man said, "One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." And that is your testimony. When somebody asks you how they can have eternal life, share with them what Jesus has done to you. That's what this man did. He shared what Jesus had done to him. "I was blind, but now I can see." So the question is what are we going to do today? What are you going to do today? Are you going to allow him to come into your life and to change your life? Are you going to reject him? Let me pray. Father, please bless your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for what it means. And Lord, it's powerful. And I pray you'll prick our hearts. You'll bring conviction to our hearts. And Lord, that you will anoint us and show us the truth. And Lord, that we will see the truth for the first time. And Lord, that you will change our lives and you'll come in and we will become that light for you in this old dark world. Please bless these people. Thank you for them. And I pray that you'll give them a great day today. Lord, just bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you for listening in again. And if I can help you in any way, please feel free to try to contact me through the KALT internet. You can do that, or you can call the church at 870-691-3056. God bless you, and Lord willing, I'll see you again next week.